WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Historian Jill Lepore won the prestigious Bancroft Prize, among other awards, for her book The Name of War, King Philip's War and the Origins of American Identity. American identity and its messy contradictions are still preoccupying Lepore in her latest book, A is for American, but critic Maureen Carrigan has a review.
Ever since I stuck a flag outside my house on the morning of September 12th, I've been engaging in sporadic debates with friends and neighbors over what exactly the American flag signifies. Some of my fellow Americans perhaps look at the flag in my flower pot and assume that I share their belief that, in the aftermath of that terrible day, George W. Bush went from amiable frat boy to Winston Churchill with a twang. Others tell me that displaying a flag means that I'm, at worst, jingoistic, at best, a victim of false patriotic consciousness. To those interested in a clear-eyed analysis of what he calls the soft anti-Americanism of a portion of the American left, I recommend Todd Gitlin's essay called Blaming America First in the January issue of Mother Jones magazine. Gitlin, the media and culture critic and former president of SDS, says he put out his own flag after September 11th as a badge of belonging, not a call to shed innocent blood. But belonging to what? That's always been a vexing question for us as Americans. At this charged moment in our history, Jill Lepore's new book, A is for American, offers some especially compelling stories about the 19th century search for a language that would unite the sprawling, chaotic young republic. According to the first national census taken by functionaries on horseback in 1790, out of a population of about 4 million, one in four people did not speak English as their first language. That's compared to one in six estimated by the 1990 U.S. Census. All this linguistic diversity, then as now, seemed threatening to some native speakers of English. Lepore investigates how, in the 19th century, spelling books, syllabaries, the Morse code, and sign language, among other things, promised to strengthen the integrity of a country that, in the words of Noah Webster, was held together by little more than a cobweb. The subtitle of Lepore's book reads, Letters and Other Characters in the Newly United States. And I suspect she intends that word characters to have a double meaning, because her book is populated by an impressive variety of homegrown eccentrics, visionaries, and cranks. Foremost among them is Webster himself, who by most accounts was a boring pedant, but who put his pedantry to good use by first producing his famous spelling book to standardize the national use of the ABCs, and then his even more famous dictionary to make sure we American English speakers knew exactly what we were saying. But lest we think of Webster as a starry-eyed patriot, Lepore shows how his work, like that of some of the other six men she scrutinizes here, was motivated at least as much by anti-immigrant animus as it was by love of country. The most fervent nativist in this crowd is Samuel F.B. Morse, the inventor of the Morse code, who became caught up in designing a language of dots and dashes because he believed an international conspiracy led by the Pope was trying to undermine American democracy by exporting Catholic immigrants to the United States. Lepore also explores the ideas of less familiar figures, like William Thornton, who concocted a universal alphabet so all the world could be allied. Thomas Hopkins Gallaudet was also an American one-worlder who thought that sign language was the natural language of humans lost at the Tower of Babel. He was instrumental in promoting sign language to instruct deaf Americans to help them achieve full and active citizenship and to understand the Bible in the hopes of hastening the Second Coming. A couple of flaws make Lepore's book itself a little less than transcendent. The story of the slave, Abd al-Rahman Ibrahima, who used his Arabic literacy to eventually engineer his passage back to Africa, is remarkable, but its inclusion in a book about nation-building through language seems forced. And Lepore's own language is a little flat. Many of her sentences could have used an electromagnetic jolt from one of those telephonic devices another one of her subjects, Alexander Graham Bell, was always tinkering with. Those imperfections acknowledged, A is for American offers an enlightening look at our cyclical history as Americans of failing and trying to all get on the same page.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed A is for American by Jill Lepore.